Well, that ought to make us old heads happy, shouldn't it? We understand that language. Isn't that right, Teresa? Yes. Hey, wasn't that Stuart Hamlin until today? Yeah. Stuart Hamlin, an old friend of mine. He wrote that song. Many years ago, I think it was when Billy Graham was holding a great crusade out in Los Angeles or somewhere, and he wrote that song. Yes. Are you excited? I don't sound like it. Are you excited? Hey, listen. Dale Carnegie used to have a motivational course that he taught. And he taught people to get up in front of the mirror. The way to get it, be excited every day was to get up and get in front of the mirror and say, if you act excited, then you'll be excited. If you act excited, then you'll be excited. Well, I got news for Stuart Hamlin. I don't need him. I got Jesus. Amen? I was telling the CR group this morning, when things like we're going through right now begin, when they start, I get excited. I guess I'm crazy. But I get excited because I'm just wondering what God's going to do. And I know He's going to do something. Amen? He is going to do something. Well, I have a word of encouragement for you tonight. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But the 14th verse says, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We are in the minority. America is only a Christian nation by name in 2020. We are in the minority. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. We're only a Christian nation in 2020 in our own minds. It's not a reality. However, we know something that the rest of the world does not know. There is a family secret in the family of God. We know something that the rest of the world does not know. And it's found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And it says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, let that sink in. Timothy Keller, who Pastor Nathan likes to quote a lot, and I understand why, he's a very wise person. He said, if you have money, power, and status today, it is due to the century and place in which you were born, to your talents and capacities and health, none of which you earned. In short, all of your resources are in the end the gift of God. All of your resources, everything that's good in your life, in the end, it is the gift of God. This passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 is one of the top 10 verses of Scripture that I have memorized And I have relied on for 55 years, ever since I became a Christian. It is a wonderful promise. It's for every believer. It means exactly what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. It does not say only good things work together for good, because good things don't need to work together for good. They are good. It says all things, even the bad, all things work together for good. Now, this is not the most popular worldview in 2020. I must tell you that there are two polar opposite worldviews to choose from. Let me give you two big words that may be new words to you. The first is the word existentialism. That's a worldview. And here's what it means. First of all, let me tell you that existentialism is a hopeless philosophy of life. It says there is no rhyme or reason for our existence. There is no purpose. Evil and wickedness just happen for no reason. We will never understand why. That's what existentialism teaches. John Lennon. I'm not a fan of John Lennon's. Don't misunderstand. John Lennon wrote a song that expressed existentialism in 1965, the year that I was born again. And here's what it says. It's titled Nowhere Man. Any of you ever hear that song? Nowhere Man. John Lennon fan. Virginia. Here's what it says. He is a real nowhere man sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view. Knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? That's existentialism. It is a hopeless philosophy. Then there is a theodicy, the next big word. And it means this: the vindication of divine goodness and providence in view of the existence of evil. In other words, there is a purpose and a meaning to life. There is a purpose and a meaning to life. The text that we read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 reminds us of a great, powerful, unchanging truth. Our God is a God of purpose. Our God is a God of purpose. Are you listening tonight? Our God is a God of purpose. One day He will bring it all to a final conclusion. All this thing that we call life, He'll bring it all to a final conclusion, and He will clear His great name and He will magnify His Son. That's what He promises in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. And verse 11. Wherefore God, the Bible says, God also hath highly exalted Him. Who? Jesus. And given Him a name which is above every name. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, in things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Do I hear an amen? Notice carefully with me the text that I gave you a few moments ago. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose." Notice it does not say. It does not say that everything that happens is good. There is nothing good about a hurricane. There's nothing good about a plane. There's nothing good about accidents that sometimes kill and maim. There's nothing good about losing your sight or losing your hearing. There's nothing good about losing your job. There's nothing good about COVID-19. There's nothing good about alcoholism or drug addiction or violence of any kind. There's nothing good about immoral laws or immoral leaders. There's nothing good about hating a person who is of a different skin color. Did you get that? There is nothing good about hating a person with another skin color. And I tell you what, folks, I've come to the conclusion that God's people may be complicit somewhat in what's happening in the world today. We need to examine and search our hearts and see if there is any prejudice within us, if there's any partiality in us because of somebody's skin color. Every human being was created by God to be in His image. Every living human being, no matter what the color of their skin or what language they speak, Jesus Christ died on the cross for that individual. I'm convinced that we need to search our hearts and ask God to show us if there's anything in us that should not be there, that He cannot bless and be pleased with. And if there is, we need to get rid of it. Folks, this does not say that everything that happens is good. And in the second place, not all people believe, Romans 8:28. Not all people believe it. Not all people are expected to believe it. It's not true for all people. Only those in the family believe this. Only those in the family of God believe this. It is not for all people, because you have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to believe He's the Son of God. You have to believe that this is the Word of God. And if you are not in the family, it wasn't meant for you. It says, we know. You may not know, but we know. If you don't know, then it may say something about where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you do not know this. The Greek that is translated in the King James, we know, It comes from a Greek word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I'd probably mess it up if I did, and you wouldn't know it if I did mispronounce it. But but there's a Greek word that is translated "we know," and that's what you get in the King James. And it refers to knowledge of a well-known fact. We know. It speaks of experiential knowledge of a well-known fact. We as believers have found it to be true. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are the called according to His purpose. Amen? In the third place, it is true only for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. It is not true for anybody else. But it is true for all of those who love God and His Son and are called according to His purpose. It's not for everybody. It's not for those outside the family. It is for the called according to His purpose. This verse speaks entirely in the present tense. It says, we know in the present tense. We know right now. We know at this moment, as we face any crisis, as we face any situation, we know it is present tense. We know that all things work together for good. That's also present tense. We know that those who love God and are called according to His purpose can claim this promise. That is present tense. We know to them who are the called according to His purpose. It does not include those who once knew and no longer know Him in a personal relationship. It does not include those who once loved Him and no longer love Him. They have put something else in His place. It does not include those who have not been called according to His purpose in their life. It does not include those who were once saved but are no longer saved. It is only true for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, folks, we are all on the brink of a new chapter in our lives. The future is going to be more challenging than we could ever know. A new chapter in our lives. But I got some good news for you. God knows. God knows what the future holds. He knows what lays ahead. I want you to look with me at the entire context. I'm not going to try to preach on the entire context. Don't get scared. I just want to read it to you. I want you to see it. I want you to make the connection. Look at verse 28 all the way down through the end of chapter, verse 39. This is the rest of the story. This is what supports that statement. For we know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. Now notice what else it says. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son. Here's one of my favorite verses in the entire Word of God. When I have any doubt as to whether God will give me what I ask for according to his will, I go to this verse. It says, I lost my place there. 32. It is that God justifies. Verse 32 says, he that spared not his own son. That's what I remember it anyway. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him give us all things? If God gave us his son, would he withhold anything from us that is good? No, he would not. And he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And then he goes on and says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Or, in other words, who will bring charges against God's chosen? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We are guilty, but forgiven because of his death on the cross and his intercession in our behalf. And then he goes on and says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, that means danger, or sword, that means violence? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, we face death all the time. You may not even know it, but you face death every day. We all face death every day. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, that means demons, nor things present, nor things to come, the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, or anything in all of creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get you some of that. Just remember, God is not finished with us yet. He's not finished with you yet. And he will have the last word. Not COVID-19. Not some lame election or some weak-kneed politician. He will have the last word. We're everyone concerned about our families, and we're concerned about our nation. But I don't think you've ever heard me say this, but let me say it for your benefit. God gives us the kind of government we deserve. I didn't think you'd like that. God gives us the kind of government we deserve. And I'm not just talking about the heathen. I'm not just talking about the sodomites. I'm not just talking about the abortionists. I'm talking about God's people. He gives us the kind of government we deserve. Here's something else maybe you've never heard. America is not ready to repent yet. America is not ready to repent yet. All the signs point to it. It's going to take more convincing. That's the bad news. It's going to take more convincing. Is the outcome of the election and the double whammy of COVID-19 and racial unrest good? No, it's not good. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. This is our family secret. We know that our God will take the past, the present, and the future and transform it all for good for those who love Him and say yes to His call and His purpose for their life. He calls us all to Himself and His perfect will for our lives. He calls us all to His will. God has a will for your life. It's not just to sit on a pew on Sunday morning either. He has an eternal purpose for your life. He has a plan for you that is beyond anything you could ever begin to imagine. God can and will do things in your life that you would not believe right now if you will surrender yourself to His call and His purpose for your life. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and verse 26. And I'm finished. After this, so listen carefully. This is probably the shortest sermon I've ever preached. And He said to them, Jesus, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, his call, his purpose, and take up his cross every once in a while, on Sunday morning, not on Sunday night, or He doesn't want you to go out of your way. No. He says, and take up His cross daily. Daily. And follow Me. That's the only way you can follow Him, is take up your cross daily and follow Him. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for My sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? For whosoever shall be ashamed of Me and of My words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He shall come in His glory and in His Father's and the holy angels. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. Do you know? Do you know that? Do you know the family secret? If you do, you can rejoice even in this. My prayer is that this time in our lives, this crisis that we face, these several crises that we're facing, may they be a wake-up call for the family and for the world. That's my prayer. May it be a wake-up call for us And may we get down to business about the Father's business so that we can say, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Even COVID-19, God could cause it to come out for our good and to the called according to His purpose. I want to close tonight. Ask you to stand with me. And I've asked Bill to put the Serenity Prayer up on the screen. And we recite this every Tuesday night. And it sort of got under my skin. And I'm still discovering nuggets of truth in it. Now, most people only know the first 4 or 5 lines. But I want to say it all tonight. And we're going to close with that, okay? Say it with me, the way we do it at Celebrate Recovery. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. There's a lot of things you can't change. The courage to change the things I can. There are some things that you can change. And the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time. Enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Accepting COVID-19 as a pathway to peace. Taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is. It's going to ruin you if you don't. Not as I would have it. Let's go back and get that one again. I messed that one up. Taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is. Not, come on. Not as I would have it. Trusting that you will make all things right. If I surrender to your will, there it is, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Amen. Now I want you to say 5 more words. I really mean it, Lord. Say it a little louder. I really mean it, Lord. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.